The increasing costs to get into Alaska's fisheries are making it difficult for new fishermen to break into the business, especially in rural coastal communities. That's according to a recent report from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and Sea Grant scientists. They worry that in an industry once defined by hard work, a fisherman's success now mainly depends on access to money. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur takes a look at fisheries access and how it could be improved.
In an industry without awards or CEOs, Jim Moore is a PhD-level fisherman. He's been trolling Southeast Alaska since 1971.
Required just a boat and a fishing license only cost me in the neighborhood of $15,000, and today would probably be in the neighborhood of $150,000. And I certainly, as a young person, wouldn't have been able to afford that.
2 years after Jim put his first hooks in the water, Alaska passed the Limited Entry Act. It created a set number of commercial fishing permits. For the first time, your right to catch salmon depended on having a limited entry permit. The state awarded them to people with the strongest fishing record. Moore got one. Others weren't so lucky.
When older fishermen reflect on those years and the ways in which the distribution of those limited entry permits divided families, 8 brothers, one of them got a permit, the others didn't.
That's Courtney Carruthers, professor of fisheries at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
It started to really create long-lasting effects in terms of who had livelihood access, who ended up becoming successful, and who didn't.
As more and more fisheries were limited, this system was praised for professionalizing the fleet, conserving stocks, and making fishing safer. But it inadvertently created a trend that Carruthers calls a paramount problem.
So anyone is able to purchase a limited entry permit. So it sort of benefits those people that have access to capital. And it tends to be that outside fishermen have more access to capital, are wealthier, and buy those permits up.
After 4 years of research in rural fishing towns, her team just published their report. Permits held by people local to their fisheries have declined by 30%. Alaska's coastal communities are losing their rights to fish.
Globally, we're seeing these programs that have, you know, limited and commodified the right to fish have had really big impacts for certain groups of people, young people, low-income fishermen, rural communities, indigenous communities.
In 2004, Lindsay Johnson started deckhanding on a friend's seiner. A decade later, she'd worked across Southeast, Bristol Bay, Prince William Sound, and earned her captain's license. She needed her own operation.
It became clear that the fishing I knew how to do wasn't really in my budget. I could not afford the seine permit. Ultimately, I decided on trolling because I could afford it.
Market value for a Southeast seine permit today is about $230,000. A troll permit costs a sixth of that, $35,000. To afford that, plus the FV Sika, a wood troller, Johnson had to take out a loan. Actually, three.
I have a loan from a friend and the state for the boat and a loan from the state for the permit. It's more debt than I've ever been in my life.
In 1971, Moore needed a boat and a fishing license. But Carruthers' research shows Johnson is a textbook example of what it takes to get into fishing today. With experience, social fishing connections, good credit, practice running a business, and multiple state-sponsored low-interest loans, she made it, at least to the starting line. Without those qualifications, Carruthers sees a generation of would-be fishermen stuck on shore.
Fishing used to be this career that took anybody. There was kind of this option where you didn't necessarily need an education. You didn't necessarily need wealth in your family. There's this opportunity for you to work hard and to be rewarded. And the landscape's totally shifted now.
And as permits leave rural fishing communities, whether they're canceled, sold, or permit holders move away, they take the opportunity for young people to learn the trade with them. In communities where fishing is one of the few options to make money, each permit represents a business that supports families, buys groceries, and pays taxes. Losing one hurts the economic strength of the whole community, Carruthers says.
You see that all through Southeast Alaska, this huge dispossession of fishing rights. Boat harbors, you know, that used to have 30 boats have a couple.
And Alaska's fishing fleet is getting older. The average fisherman is a decade older than in 1975. The typical permit holder is now 50. Jim Moore turned 71 this year.
I've got my grandchildren now that are learning, and I'll be depending more on them to do the heavy lift. But I won't be retiring for at least another 5 years, maybe 30 years. don't know.
Like Johnson, Moore is lucky. Many fishermen don't see anyone coming up to take their place.
They have to have a rich uncle or some leg up in the system. And I think there's a lot of concern, you know, looking 20 years, 30 years from now, who is it that will be able to access our fisheries?
Carruthers' research includes a suite of policies gleaned from Canada, Norway, Iceland, and the East Coast that have solved the same problems in their fisheries. They range from setting up exclusively local fisheries, reserving fishing rights for young and indigenous people, apprenticeship programs, and more.
What's needed here is some policy shifts, not any changes in terms of what fishermen need to be doing. We really think it's a problem at the level of state and federal policy. There need to be some other options for entry.
The report asks the governor to set up a task force to work on fisheries access. But with Alaska's state budget in crisis, Carruthers worries there's a lack of political will to solve the problem, even with solutions on the table. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.